This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Madeline Brand. Rich Kepler is your average neighbor. He's a picture framer, a good husband, two kids in college, a dog. He even has a lawn. One day, he mentioned to his neighbor, independent producer Larry Massett, that he also writes poetry. Larry didn't know what to expect, but here is some of what Rich Kepler read to him.
Oh my God, what do I do? What do I read? Vietnam, huh? I'll read you Huey's, 1967. I was a medevac medic, 1st Infantry Division, and we flew on gunships, and those helicopters never really seemed right, you know. I could understand great engines pushing forward and air bending over long wings, creating massive lift over clouds into thin air as we flew over oceans and continents with ease and assurance, Playboy magazines on our lap. But whirling blades over a hostile jungle canopy, in the middle of someone else's civil war, a single motor, open doors, a 21-year-old warrant officer driving, stoned on hashish, in a monsooned blackened night, lost and laughing, well, it just seemed a little iffy to me. Free fire zone. So terrified and alone they were, patrolling the free fire zone. If the wind blew, they shot trees until they fell in a heap. A cow and a pig, too. Anything that moved. And so it was for the silhouette that carried a rake and a hoe. I was sent to Germany. They put me in med-surg and the burns unit, and my guys that I left were being killed, and I always felt like either I cheated them or I cheated myself. I felt guilty for leaving them. Part of what I had to do was to process the dead bodies. And so I wrote a poem about this fellow. His name was Sergeant Graves. That was his actual name, Sergeant Graves. I sat and watched after you died in that army hospital. It was just you and I, Sergeant Graves, and the resuscitation machine sloshing back and forth. It still expanded and contracted your dead chest. I wondered a lot of things about you, Sergeant Graves, as I tagged your right toe. Mostly, I wondered if you still had those 3 Clark bars in your top drawer. They were there, Sergeant Graves, they were there. And I was eating the last one as I slid you into the dark refrigerator. So when I got out of the service, I was doing too many drugs and everything was bothering me. And I was a hospital technician because I had this medical training. And I got mononucleosis, and the doctors there, the nurses told me, you can't come to work, you're too sick. But that didn't stop me from going to the bars every night and drinking, coming home and smoking pot and whatever drug I could find. And one night I fell in a hole coming home and I broke my ankle. So now I had a broken ankle, a cast up to my knee, and I had mononucleosis. And I was drinking every night. I was hopping all over College Park, Maryland, closing the bars. So one night I came home and I was just so exhausted and fell down in my bed. And about an hour later, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with a searing pain going down my left arm. Your spleen gets enlarged when you have mononucleosis, and you can rupture your spleen. You have to take care of yourself. Maybe I was trying to kill myself. I don't know. So I felt this terrible, terrible, terrific, terrific pain going down my left arm. It dawned on me that maybe my spleen had ruptured. Just as soon as I thought that, I fell into my bookcase, and I knocked my bookcase over. And I was too dizzy. I couldn't stand up. So I started doing a low crawl, and I started hallucinating about I was in the Army, I was low crawling. And I thought I was being chased. I thought maybe the Viet Cong were chasing me. And someone woke up in the morning around 5 o'clock, 5:30, and saw me in the hallway. And I was just white as a sheet, and I was barely conscious. And this friend of mine called an ambulance, and they came and they took me to my very emergency room where I worked. The nurses and the doctors that I worked with saw me come in, and, you know, and they oh my Lord, what has he done now? Look at him. And they rushed me up to the OR. I remember watching that, and I was on a stretcher, and I watched the fluorescent lights go boom, 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 boom. I was totally ambivalent about this living thing. I thought, this would just be fine for me if I could just get out of this whole thing. I really don't care. Boom, 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 boom. And it's funny, after you something like that happens to you, you're almost set free. I knew then at that point, after I got well, it took me about a year to be able to stand up straight. But I knew I didn't have to be a businessman then. I didn't know I didn't have to be successful. I knew I didn't have to do anything I didn't want to do, because I was on the sixth ball on the pinball game. You know, I got an extra ball. But I remember how angry I was for years after I got out of the Army. I was just mad. And I was mad at everybody. And when I got to be 50 on my birthday, I didn't feel angry anymore, thank goodness. At least not angry like I used to. And so I wrote this poem, Angry Young Men. Angry young men are not sure why they boil inside, grinding souls wanting to punch something. Maybe it's third down and long with your father watching, or the cult of violence on the screen, or the thankless wars we send them to. Perhaps it's simply the veil of tears that never really fall down their cheeks, or something so simple as bad hormones mixed with too much cheap beer. But my advice, if ever you feel an angry young man coming towards you, get out of his way. Like a cold wind, he will go right through you and not look back. I have hit people, and I don't remember who they were or exactly why, but that was long ago, back when I couldn't cry. I'm 50 now, and I cry all the time.
Our story, Part-Time Poet, about Rich Kepler, was produced by Larry Massett. It comes to us from the NPR series Hearing Voices. We'll be right back.